Before we jump into the episode, we want to tell you about Stitch Fix. Stitch Fix is a fashion service that gives you access to a personal stylist, curating looks for you based on your budget and individual style. Using their intuitive website, they really are able to get an idea of who you are and the looks you love. After signing up for Stitch Fix, you'll receive professionally styled outfits straight to your door. It's super convenient and you only keep what you love, and return shipping is a breeze. Stitch Fix works with all your favorite brands like Free People, Nike, Vans, and Ralph Lauren, just to name a few. So if you're looking for a fresh look heading into the holiday season, go check out Stitch Fix. I've ordered through them and found one of my favorite pair of jeans. To start shopping, head over to our website, themomvoice.com, and click Shop the Show. Find the Stitch Fix link and start browsing. Seriously, head over right now while you're listening to this episode and find your perfect holiday outfit. All right, on to the show. Hey guys, welcome to The Mom Voice. This is Lauren and Sarah with episode 139.
Okay, well, we are in studio today with Miss Jenny Commenda to talk about how to live a more intentional life, not only for ourselves, but for our families. Jenny is a design influencer and owner of Juniper Print Shop, married to her husband, Michael, and the mother to four darling girls. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, we're so excited to be sitting down with you finally.
Jenny, you're like a hometown hero. Like, you really are. This is like a big deal. Like, we're really, and she is just as beautiful and as pleasant as can be in
person.
Right
back at you guys.
So we're so happy to have you.
Totally. Well, Jenny, give us a background.
I know. Yeah, Jenny, you've got to kind of break down a tiny bit in, you know, a summary of your story. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you just created this beautiful, huge business. How did it all start?
Well, it's been a journey for sure. I've always loved interior design. We were just talking about going to school, and I took a couple of interior design classes in college, but ended up graduating with a business degree. I knew I wanted to do my own thing. And back when I started, I think it was 2007 or 2008, home blogs and design blogs were really just starting to kick off. There were only a few that everyone read. It was like Apartment Therapy and Design Sponge. And, you know, Emily Henderson started about the same time. It was just this kind of smaller group of people that was really supportive. And we did a lot of projects, you know, a lot of DIY. Mm-hmm. And it was daily posting about inspiration. You know, the design world was really, it was basically magazines and HGTV. And that was what you got as far as like content.
Yes.
Totally different from the Pinterest world that we have today, and that every person in the world is an influencer with an Instagram account, right?
Totally.
So it was a really small group of people. And if you got lucky enough to get on one of those bigger blogs, you kind of got this really big traction, so a lot of leg up. I remember we lived in Boston, and I found a free piece of furniture on the side of the road, and I spray painted it bright, crazy red. Remember when spray painted furniture was like?
Oh, totally. You're like, I can totally remember.
Blowing minds when you spray painted furniture.
Paint it. Yes.
Yeah. So I spray painted a credenza red, and I got all of these opportunities from this one post. And I was invited to work for some magazines, and to, you know, I got all these other bloggers that were in other spheres. They invited me to decorate their homes, and we moved to New York City, and I started working for Domino and Better Homes and Gardens, and just kind of my design career kicked off. It was really fun. At the same time, I started doing some select client work projects, you know, design projects. So I did that for 10, 15 years. And then in 2017, we were doing a client project in Portland, and we ran out of art. We were installing these two beautiful cabins in the middle of very rural area, and one of the pieces didn't come. And so we were kind of up a creek, and we needed to photograph a space. So we quickly printed out a photograph that I had, like a file that I had of a photo I had taken, like a nature photo, and printed it out at Kinko's, really big, and printed, just framed it in like a thrift store frame. Like, it wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. We were really just like scrapping it together, making it work for the photo. And I shared it on Instagram, and everyone was like, oh, can I buy this file from you? Like, you know, is there, and so, you know, our whole team drove from Phoenix to Portland, just a 22-hour drive. So driving back in the middle of the night, and my whole team's asleep, and I was at the wheel just thinking, like, you know, this is interesting. There's a business opportunity here. Like people are, you know, and this was sort of when digital downloads for art files were kind of like becoming a thing. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to quickly open up a shop. So I just at nights for the next 3 weeks, like put together, I think we launched maybe 30 print files. Some I like to paint. So there's some painted pieces and then a lot of photography and then some vintage pieces too. Launched it. And within a year, it was most of our revenue from our company. I think we were doing pillows at the time, client work, affiliate work with all the home design blog stuff influencing. And the product really just emerged as like the clear revenue winner. And also just so nice to be able to, you know, not have to have my time directly tied to our revenue. I felt so stretched, which I know we're going to talk about today, just being a little bit more intentional about our work. But that's kind of the story. And fast forward, my husband, who is an attorney, quit his job in 2020. And we work together now. And we have a team of 20 employees and just mostly focusing on prints. We do some home design influence stuff still, but like that's really our bread and butter and we love it. So fun.
That is just incredible. And you were having your babies all along the way here.
All the time. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. I think that has been the story of my life is like figuring out this, like really unpacking that myth of like, can you achieve work-life balance? Like what we really seek in our family is work-life integration. We moved our offices to be 4 minutes away from our home. And our kids are there all the time. they're employees of ours too. They're not really like, you know, they're not part of that 20.
I love
but,
that
but our accountant too. Actually recommends that that's, you should put your kids on your payroll starting at age 12.
It helps, oh,
yes.
Wow.
Kids could, great. Yeah, be starting good a tip. Retirement okay. fund for them and mm-hmm. it's a tax write-off dollar for dollar.
Oh my goodness. I love that.
Yes. Didn't expect that from me today.
She's full of nuggets, you guys. She's a nuggets.
That's
like truly like this, the all Americans, you know, story of just like dreaming big and you and opportunity after opportunity and then just blowing out like this amazing success. That's really incredible. And I didn't know all that. I did not know that you did all of these design things, the magazine work and all of that. I mean, that's incredible. And man, back to the good old days of the blog, right? The bloggers that just started it all, the OGs, and really, I mean, as Creed, it was like the original back
well,
in.
Well, and do you feel like over time, like as all of this was kind of happening, and kind of like you said, things have really changed with like social
sure.
media, like everybody mm-hmm. seems to kind of be wanting to be in that space.
Yeah.
I mean, did you feel like as your life was kind of speeding up and business is speeding up. Kids are getting older. There's more crunches on your time. And I mean, everything, we're seeing it with our personal families as well. Like when you get out of the toddler stage and mm-hmm. you're doing carpools and schedules yeah. and like, and then, I mean, we have work and a podcast, but it's like, we're nothing compared to you. Like I can only imagine. Do you feel like those pressures really start to take a toll? And is this why you kind of, I don't know. Did you ever have to kind of do a reset, like a mental reset or find yourself in that situation?
I'm laughing because right now. I mean, I remember the most like sage advice that my dad ever, I mean, my dad's such a great guy, but I love, he always says the secret to happiness is to focus on what is unique with the chapter that you're in because life changes so quickly. And I really think, especially when you're in that, maybe you guys can relate to this, you know, when you're in a younger kid phase, when you have like maybe babies and toddlers or whatever, you just feel like this is the rest of my life. This will never end. And there's so many lovely, wonderful things about it, but you just feel like, who am I? You feel a little bit lost with your purpose and your identity. And it can just feel a little bit like, when will this ever change? You know, and then suddenly it changes and you have, you know, maybe all your kids are in school and you have a little bit more, you have a couple extra hours in the day and then you adjust again. It's just, I think embracing the seasonality of life is like my dad said, like, that is the secret to happiness. Like, what is unique about this specific moment? My kids will never be this age again. I will never be at this phase in my business again where it's just me and a friend doing this or whatever. Or, you know, I'll never just have 20 employees again. Or maybe I have 20 and then we decide to scale back to 5. You know, like, I think just really embracing that this life is built on change. Right. And that's not like, it's not a bug. It's a feature. Like we embrace it and we go, what's unique right now? And then you can just, I think, be so much more settled in just the season.
I think probably 2020 taught that to us too. So yeah, truly, because sure. I mean, like life was fast and crazy, and I know we all had our complaints in 2019, but man, 2020 really quick put in perspective like how good we had it and how happy we were. And when things were just like pulled away, I also feel like I have felt those exact thoughts when my babies were little and you're just drowning in diapers and you're like wishing it away when you're so right. And there are times I even now look back at that and I'm like, things were so simple and so sweet then. And all it was about making it for nap time. That's all we were worried about.
Absolutely.
Like, and at the time you're just so like bogged down and like, and exactly lost and just tired. But it is like trying to find like the joy in each little season because
It does change.
It's not forever.
Yeah.
It's brief and like you will miss it. You'll miss those like crazy things.
I'm truly convinced that every like phase of life, there's the same amount of good and the same amount of hard and the same amount of like, you just that, you know, like I think that we end up, it all kind of ends up being about the same. It's, you're just trading different types of hard and different types of good. And so I think once you can let go of like, I got to get to here so that I'm only happy and I'm only not stressed and I'm only like, that's just not going to, that's not the way that it works. You know, I think that you're right. If we can just go, this is the pattern of life and I can focus, I can choose to focus on what's really, really great for right now and let go of some of these like harder things because that's going to change too, you know?
Yes. And I absolutely agree. Finding the happiness, whatever stage you're in right now is like absolutely crucial because you'll just be looking back and knowing, seeing that it's all past.
I know. And I feel like this is something that us moms have to deal with more than ever now because of social media. Like we're all kind of on it throughout the day here or there. And it's like you're seeing people, the best parts of people's lives, and they might be in a different stage than you. And like, it can be hard, again, to be grateful and like settled in that place that you're in. We kind of touched on this in a recent episode of how you can always be wanting the next thing, the next chapter. Mm-hmm. And I think, being
or comparing
mindful.
Yourself.
Yes.
I mean, just comparing, oh, I wish I could have a job like that, or I wish my kids were like that talented, or I wish I got that vacation. And when you can kind of get down on yourself and it's really, it's a real juggle. I mean, where do you stand with like Instagram? Geez, that's a big question.
I think, you know, I think that it's really good to pay attention to how you're feeling. I think that one thing for me that I've noticed that if I am leaning to, like if I have some free time or if it's not, if something's not on fire and I find myself gravitated toward like numbing activities, like Netflix or scrolling Instagram or, you know, like any of those where you are not present and with your thoughts, you know, that's a big red flag for me that like I need to pull back from social media specifically.
Oh my gosh, you're speaking like to me right now. I have never heard that term before.
Stop,
a numbing
Sarah.
Activity.
Sarah, I was just going to say she's speaking to me. I'm not even lying to you. I almost spent, oh my gosh.
Yeah, we
I'm
do
talking
this.
To myself.
Straight to my soul right now.
I'm not even kidding.
A numbing
like
activity.
That is such an interesting phase.
Like if you don't want to be alone with your thoughts, that's when you especially need to be alone with your thoughts.
Wow.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Girl, you're calling me out right now.
We're just jinxing over here. And I just literally got goosebumps only because, yes, we all do that. I do that. And I think we find it to be like this escape from just like, okay, life, like calm down, zone out. But it's so right. I mean, I'm first to say, I know it's like wasted time. Mm-hmm. You only have so many hours in the day and it's such wasted time.
Yeah.
And so how, and I think we're going to dive into that and how we should use that time and how we can be more intentional with our time in when there is just not enough in the day. Like I have felt very spread thin the last few months. So maybe
social media is basically my job, you know, like this, it's so important. I look at it most days. I do think that just to swing back to that like seasonality mindset, you can go, I'm not going to give it up forever. I maybe just need a week off or a weekend off or a day. You know, if you're waking up and you're like in a mood, then go, you know what? I'm not going to go there today. Like I don't need to have to process that. I don't need to have those feelings added into what I'm already feeling today, you know? And that is like, it's so helpful to even say it right in this moment. I don't have to make any decisions about the future necessarily, but you know, because I think a lot of people are like, if, you know, it's like committing to running a marathon or whatever, you
right,
know, like
right.
we were just talking
Absolutely.
About that. We're both going to run long races this year.
Yes.
And I think it's really just deciding just for, this is what I need for right now. This is the headspace that I'm in today.
And that is also a really good point. Like I don't really think about, there is a lot of energy spent and in processing those thoughts. Like you said, like if yeah. you're seeing something that, and we talked about this in our recent episode, things like it just can change the way you think, or you're getting down on yourself or you're feeling bad about something, but then you have to like talk yourself back out of it. And it is just this kind of mental game, and it is emotions and energy spent that you could be spending that on so many other things or people and your children. Like that, the fact that we as women especially put ourselves through these like processes day in, day out, definitely fed by social media. I mean, wow, that's huge.
I love that. I mean, are there any other like warning signs in your life when you ever feel like you do kind of need to step back for a minute and slow it down? I mean, I know I can like, almost physically feel my body.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, for
it's
sure.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. I think reaction time to my kids is probably the biggest thing. Like if I'm a little snippy to my spouse or to my kids, then it's like, hold on, I've got some work to do on myself. This isn't about them. It's mm-hmm. really about where I'm at, and that I need to maybe take a couple things off of my plate so that, you know, I think that, you know, I am such a priorities person. I think that it's so important to constantly be aware of like what your priority is for the day, for the week, for that season, like a really just focusing like, hey, you know, right now my teenagers need me so much more than, I mean, I thought that, you know, when your kids were little, you're like, this is when you're like all in as a mother, like they need me right now. They really need you more as teenagers. My oldest is 16 and they really need us like to be there for them emotionally. And so I think that making sure that I'm reserving enough of my time, but my mental and emotional energy to really put that into our relationship, into helping her sort of like navigate this crazy world. Like that is like top 2 or 3 priority of my day every single day for the last year or so. And like, and I know that's, again, that seasonal thing, right? Like this is what's most important for the season. So that means that something has to come off of my plate, right? So I've taken a big step back from Instagram the last little bit. And I think we've got a hold of a lot of the things that we were struggling with my daughter for a year. And like, she's doing a lot better and we're in a good, you know, so now I'm going, okay, I feel like maybe I can put some of this back on. And like, and I think that with age, you know, I said that I'm turning 40 this next year. Like, I think that I've gone through this cyclical seasonal stuff enough that I'm like, it'll come. All the things that you want to be able to do in life, you'll have a chance to do them. Like, it's just about really having the clarity to decide what's for me right now versus that will be for some point down the road. And
yes.
like, and just being calm about that, like feeling, not feeling this like, which that's what social media can do, is make you feel like I need everything right now. I want this. I'm missing out. She's doing this. I'm behind, you know, like if I don't do this now, then I'll miss my chance. And like, that's just not true.
Yes.
That's such a lie.
Yes. It's kind of like the real estate thing of like, when you feel like houses, like yeah. there's not going to be a house for me.
Yes.
You know, I've got to do it like
scarcity.
Right now, you know,
yes.
or buying a car, like yeah. whatever. I know it's so
interesting. It is kind of that instant gratification yes. too, that we feel like, yeah, we need it the here and now, everybody else does. And you get caught up in that. But oh, those are such wise words that it's like, that you can kind of analyze the stage, the phase you're in right now, and things will come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And I will second that. Like my oldest is 11 and a half, my youngest is 6, but they're all in school this year.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be like a huge relief, help. Oh my gosh, I'm just this freedom. But it's interesting, as they are growing up, yes, there are just different needs and different pulls, and it feels
yeah.
as busy as ever,
yeah.
honestly. And it's so interesting that just, right, and I'm not even into the teenage years yet. So I'm like, I can only imagine those teenagers. I know. Oh my gosh.
No, well, it's all hard and it's all good, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so talking about how all us moms listening can be a little bit more intentional. And I think, like you said, it is a day-to-day decision. It's a day-to-day process that we're all going through. But what are some takeaways that you can give us of things that you've implemented in your life on how to be more mindful, live more intentionally.
So I've shared this on Instagram before, and some my messages are funny whenever I share this, like, that's so intense, or that would stress me out so much. And it does sound that way, but I promise you, if you do this just once, you'll feel so much more in control. So it's called a life report card. And I like to do this every Sunday. It's the perfect, like, you know, I'm religious. It's a perfect Sabbath day, restful check-in. It's a meditative experience actually for me. But you can do it once a month. You can just do it when you're feeling off. But basically it goes through 10 areas of your life, and you literally can spend a half of a second on each area, or you can spend 20 minutes journaling and thinking through. You know, it's crazy how the thing that you need to focus on will immediately pop out. But it's basically, you just go through the 10 areas, main areas of your life, and just put some focused intention on that thing. And then, you know, I believe that we get these, like,
yes,
inspiration, right? Absolutely. Just because you're opening that conduit of, like, I'm thinking about this thing, which here are all the 10 areas. Physical is one, which is eating. Are you sleeping enough? I tell my teenage daughters all the time, when if they come in at night and they're crying about, my friend said this and this and this, I'm like, you know what? We just need to go to bed. We talk about it for a little bit, but what you need right now is some sleep. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, that fixes it, right?
Totally.
Yeah, for me too. Yes. I'm like, if I'm spiraling, I just need to go to bed.
Yes, spiraling. Absolutely.
Things are always a little better in the morning. Yes.
Always. Yes, right. Yes. So physical. Eating, sleeping, drinking enough water, moving your body, like movement, exercise, is 30 minutes a day is critical for all of us. Just literally just going for a walk. That's one. Second one is emotional. I like it just as like a stress level check-in, like 1 to 5. Where am I at? Like, am I at like a 5? Like, we got to take something off the plate, right? The next one is spiritual. I like to read scripture. I like to read, you know, say my, just sort of check in. How am I feeling spiritually? And usually if I just even say that, I go, you know what? I probably should try this one thing. The next one is family, my spouse, my kids, and my extended family. I just literally, like, have an intentional moment thinking about these people. And like I said, usually I'll get a couple lines of notes about, like, hey, you should go get your nails done with your daughter. You should make a special mommy-daughter date on Friday night. You know, just these little ideas of, like, if I'm thinking for just a minute, then the idea will come. The next one is friends. The gals that work for us, my different friend groups, just thinking, saying their names in my brain. And usually I'll get a little, you know, I should drop off something to her, or she was feeling sad about that thing this week. And, you know, just sort of getting out of my own head and thinking about other people just for a second. Neighbors too, kind of goes in that category for me. I just kind of think about these people, dwell on them for just a half of a second. The next one is work or mission. Am I fulfilling my mission in life, or, you know, just the things that I'm working at? Am I doing and focusing on what matters most to me? Just that question alone of, like, am I just doing busy work? Am I just paying attention to the things that other people want, or am I really focusing on what matters most? The next one is home or environment. I like, you know, I am obviously as a former interior designer, a design blogger, and just like home is so, space is incredibly important. Yes. To mindset. If my house is messy, brain is messy, totally. Right?
Totally.
I lose my temper.
Amen.
So just looking through, okay, what can I do to get a little more organized, or how can I get on top of that project? What's the plan there? Another category is finances. I like once a week, just check in on those accounts. Pay your tithes and offerings, you know, like whatever you need to do just to sort of feel like, just to have a half of a second check-in. Yep. And then, or plan a deeper dive for later. And then the last one is fun, which is like adventure, hobbies, planning a trip, like making sure that, I think all of us, a lot of us who are like fast movers, like kind of achievery type, we put fun on the back burner quite a bit. And I think that's hard for kids, you know, just to feel like we're constantly doing on to the next. And I think it's really important to channel some of that energy into also lots of fun, like, right? Time together.
Yes. You work this hard to play this hard. Exactly. That's how I feel.
Yes.
It's funny, Jenny, because last night we took Sarah out to the Jonas Brothers concert for her birthday. And it was a surprise. And she even said, I quote, "I don't carve out that kind of time to have fun anymore."
Yeah.
And it is. It's important. We do have to, like, again, you work this hard to, like, just have those like benefits and joys and those experiences. So you really have to make sure you're doing that. You have to be intentional about it for sure.
Yeah. So those are my 10 areas, and I can, you can either grade yourself on them, but like I said, just sort of saying the person's name or thinking about the thing, or what trip are we going to go on this, or what fun thing are we going to do this month? You know, just putting that focus and energy on all of these areas of your life. I think it does look intense, you know, when you write it all out, and some people say, well, I'll feel like a failure because I'm, but no, that's not the point. The point is just awareness and intentionality and presence. Focus, you know,
of where you need your focus, maybe that week or that
month.
And
maybe you just pick one of the things that you need improvement on, or you go like, I'm about a 3 in all of them. Like, it's fine. Like, we're surviving, not thriving, but maybe we pick one thing, you know, to change that week.
Now, did you create this?
This is kind of like a mix of a couple. A lot of therapists use this as like a check-in, like all these like areas of life. There's a really great book called High Performance Habits by Brendan Burchard is his name. That's great.
Yeah. I need to read that.
It's a really, really good one. Atomic Habits and High Performance Habits are both really, really great. Yeah.
Well, we recently talked about manifesting, Jenny. Just kind of heard about this whole like art of attraction, like you say it will happen type thing. And I feel like this program, this like situation you're talking about here, where you do like a weekly check-in, it is kind of like you say it, you put it out there, your subconscious kind of maybe starts thinking about these things, you're prompted throughout the week to maybe check
set
in on somebody,
set those goals. Putting it out there.
It all kind of plays together. And I just love that. I was talking to a mental health professional recently about this, and she was saying like your subconscious mind is very emotionally driven, and it's the one that kind of lays low and is making all those emotional decisions of how you're going to react to things and what you're focusing on and all of that. And that when you do take time to like mindfully sit down, and she talked kind of like manifesting, but like saying things and like, and creating like emotional good responses to yourself, and that it can have a literal impact on how you view your world and your life and your happiness and like all of that.
Yeah.
And so I love this. Do you ever do this with your kids?
Yeah.
Do you?
We do it as a family every Sunday.
I love it. Yeah. Totally. I love this idea.
It's really, really good. The other thing that we do that's kind of in the same vein is we write I am statements. And gratitude. We have gratitude. We have little journals.
Explain this to me a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if my kids do it every day, but we've encouraged them to do it. My husband and I do it. We write these I am statements that are about who we are, like our true identity, who we really see as our best, fullest selves, who we want to be, right? And, you know, it can be like, I am an exceptional mother. I am, whatever. Like, I am an artist. I am a runner.
I am strong.
Yes. It's things you do in who you are. And you know, you have several of those. And I usually write the same ones every single day. And then I do this either at the beginning of the morning or at night, I write little gratitude statements of little tiny, tiny things that happened during the day that were just these like special, like not giant things of like, but just like, I got to be on a podcast today, you know, that's really, or I met these new fun friends or whatever, or someone gave me a compliment that just boosted my confidence today, or, you know, whatever. I was able to talk to my mom and connect with her, you know, just tiny little things, or I ate an incredible meal that made me love, you know, seasonal fruit or whatever, you know.
Totally. And if I can ask, are you physically writing these things? I love that.
That's so much. I love writing things. Yeah, it's total. It fires off different parts of your brain than typing, and I type all day long. So I think it's so much more, it's really good to like actually write it down. Plus, I've been doing it for a couple of years now. I love looking back over the last few years and just seeing how some of my I am statements have shifted a little bit. But the gratitude things, like, it's just such a more, it's a better way to journal, I think, than actually reporting what you did that day. But just being like, just seeing like all the gratitude you have for just the little beautiful things in this life.
Oh, totally. Gratitude, I think, can change your perspective so fast. And you even so like fast. The little things. Sarah had talked about like this whole whatever manifesting appreciation idea of just like recognizing 3 things too, like at the end of the day that you accomplished or that you're grateful for. And it really just does like, it's like, you know, food for the soul. Like it really is, because it can really just rejuvenate, restart you. And it really can get you also in that positive mind frame of like, wow, these are little things, but I have so much to be grateful for.
I'm telling you, it changes kids' minds too. It's so important for us to do. Like, I want to continue to practice for the rest of my life, but sometimes when we're sitting at the dinner table, we'll just act like, okay, what are three things you're grateful for that day? Just to kickstart them in case they don't end up doing any of the journaling or whatever.
Right.
But it's so fun to see them think through their day and go back to some of these little things about so-and-so said I was good at soccer or whatever, you know, that it just gets them thinking. And then what happens is it reprograms your brain to go around through your day, just like a little sponge going like, that was awesome. Or like, wow,
optimism. They're just positive. Yes. Instead of looking for the bad, they're looking
for
good.
And then excited to share that with people you love too, where you're like, mom, guess what? This happened. Instead of, you won't believe that, you know, my teacher did this and, you know, or whatever, you know.
Right.
Like,
dwelling on that bad thing of the day.
Which is our human natural
nature.
Tendency.
It's our nature.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, I
feel that.
Like, yes. And even more so in the world we're all living in, the world we're raising our kids in, there is so much criticism, critiquing, whatever. Like
canceling.
Every avenue. Well, just the tone
you just look
of
for the
everything.
Bad.
Yeah. Right. Everyone wants to just harass everybody.
Yeah. Everything's heavy and everything. And I do honestly feel like some of these people come deep down from a good place of like wanting change or improvement or I don't know. I just feel like with the mouthpiece everybody has of social media and of the internet, it just can create such a heavy, burdensome tone of our society. So I love what you're saying of like reinforcing in our children how to just think positively because I literally think like now it can be hard to like look at the world and say what's good.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Because
we're just surrounded by constant like negativity.
I think as parents, truly, I am making such an effort because I think it's really easy to make off the cuff comments just about yada yada politics, like whatever on the, you know, we'll be watching a movie or whatever and I'll be like, that's weird hair or whatever, you know, just like make a critical remark or whatever, just off the cuff or, you know, you just don't filter yourself or whatever. I'm trying so hard around my teenage girls to not make comments about body image stuff, about even about clothes or whatever, like, or if I say something, I'll backtrack with them. I'll be like, oh, you guys, I shouldn't have said that, you know, or, you know, we have some reprogramming and rewiring to do of our brains for all of us that grew up when, you know, without understanding a lot of this stuff fully. And these kids are not growing up in that same world, you know? And so I think as parents, we have to be really, really careful about what we're reinforcing for them and what the messages we're teaching them about, you know, about all of that, but especially about like, what are we looking for in the world? Are we looking for the good? Are we looking for positive attributes to celebrate? You know, it's okay to want to improve and to edit and to, you know, whatever, but like, it's about building more than it is about like tearing down.
Oh, I love that. So on a note of this, just having teenagers, I'm just curious, when do you think you'll let your teenagers have social media or if at all?
Yes, that is a really...
It's hard because
it's
there's
hard
no
topic.
Running from it, right? And now it's just like, I mean, from Facebook to Instagram now to TikTok to Snap, there's just, it's like not going anywhere.
Right.
But
I mean,
not that you have the right answer and maybe, you know, but like, what do you think like, you might do.
Does it terrify you?
It is scary for sure. It is scary. And I think that this generation right now it's the scariest right now because we really don't know what the effects are long term. I think we're really starting to see what some of the like mental health ramifications of us being exposed to thousands and thousands of lives. And might I add, edited, very edited lives, you know, we're getting the highlight reels, you know, we're getting all the good stuff. And that is just so hard for our human brains to process. So my kids don't currently have social media. They do have Pinterest. And so they do get to see some of like the TikTok videos, you know, some of the stuff that gets posted on, like they're aware of things, but they're not seeing their friends be at a party without them or, you know, a lot, you know, whatever. What I've decided is that it's going to be on a kid basis.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that, you know, I think they want it to be like, when I turn 16, like I should be able to have all the things or whatever. But I think that, you know, it just really is about headspace. And I think it's going to even be some of that seasonal stuff we were talking about too. If we're in a bad spot, like maybe let's pull it off. You know, like, and I think that the more important conversation is like, what am I doing to develop my relationship with my kids enough to be that close with them that we can talk about that sort of, like, we can be there, be like, hey, how you doing? Should we pull, you know, should we pull that off for maybe a month or so? And that doesn't freak them out, you know?
Totally. Like, I love that.
I think it's getting that close with your kids. Like, that's the more important. Like, and also when they see stuff, because they will see stuff. They are seeing stuff. I can promise you they are seeing stuff at school or, you know, even if they don't have phones, they're seeing stuff. You want to be close enough that you can, nothing that they can ask you about will make them uncomfortable or make you uncomfortable, you know, just complete openness.
Yes.
I love that. No, I do agree that it's like, you almost have to just start with the idea of just teaching them that self-control and like, because it is like, it's not going anywhere and you wouldn't want to just unleash the floodgates at 16 or 18. And then it's like, you know, but teaching them those skills to be able to kind of maneuver it and know how to handle it and control it. And also if you're doing those proper, like, you know, spiritual, emotional processing, that they'll know how to, like, you know, navigate that, because it is such a feat. I mean, here we are as near 40-year-olds that we're talking and it's such a process even for us, you know?
Yeah.
But we so grew up, like, literally our generation, we
were the first,
the OG users of Facebook and all of this. So I think it probably, we know life before. It's like weird for our generation because we know like the innocence and like the, you know, the peace almost.
We had
like
none of that growing up.
None of it. Totally. And then like the slow, like we get texting and like then we get video on our phone and like we were there for like this. So I don't know if it's wired into our brains differently. Right. I don't know. It's interesting.
We've seen the whole process.
It absolutely is.
If it's not a novelty to them, that's what I'm trying to say. It would be interesting to see if like how we view like, I don't know. Like, you know how our parents' generation, they view some technologies as like, you know, just bizarre, crazy.
A waste of time. And
yes.
All the things.
I don't know. I wonder if it will not be such a thing to them or if it will be. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
But like for us, you know, when Instagram first came out, every meal that you ate, you had to post a picture of it.
For sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? There was like a pressure. Like if you were
and you posted like three times a day, your day by day. Just like when, remember back in Facebook when you would say, like
your status.
Your status. Yes. Yeah. You'd say, oh,
it's complicated
because I'm here.
I'm tired.
We're complicated. Oh my gosh. And that is just like so much out in the realm of like life that's just circulating.
You're bizarre.
Just so much.
I have to follow up on that while we're talking teens really quickly though. Have your children ever said that they feel left out? I hear that from moms who have older children where there's like a pressure in those regards, right?
They feel left out because they're not on social.
Yeah, they're not on social or they don't have a cell phone earlier enough or anything like that. Like, I don't know. I want to say in my head that I'll be secure enough or my child will be like happy enough at home that they don't feel that pressure. But I don't know when it comes down to it, like how I'm going to deal with that.
Yeah. And again, I think it comes like kid by kid, you know? And I think expressing that to your kids that there's not a rule for our family other than we're going to talk about it. And it depends on, you know, depends on where you're at with it. They absolutely feel left out. You know, I think it's hard to not, it would be hard to not. So I think that, you know, I'm really open to trying things. I'm like, hey, let's try it for a month. Let's see how it goes, you know? But I think sort of layering, zooming out maybe is the right way to think about it, is it go like, okay, I just need to be close enough with my child that we're talking about stuff all the time. And no matter what she sees, no matter what she's wanting to post, no matter what she has posted and is regretting or whatever, like that she can come to me and feel like, hey, mom, I messed up. Or, hey, I saw this and I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
Or I'm feeling really sad because I wasn't invited to this thing that everyone was posting about or whatever, you know.
And I love what you're saying, like even doing this like 10-point check kind of like with your kids, with your family and not looking at everything as like so set in stone. Mm-hmm. Like you can make adjustments on the fly. And like you said, if you feel like something's heavy, we don't need this right now. You don't need this right now.
If your kids are feeling off too, like I like going through this.
Yes.
Just like if my daughter is being moody or wanting to be alone in her room a lot or whatever, often I'll just kind of have, you know, just go through, what's going on with this? What's going on, you know, what's going on with school? What's going on with your friends? What's going on, you know, how are you feeling? Yeah, have you said your prayers lately? You know, whatever, like just sort of using it as like a check-in with her, like, because something's off, you know, we don't act that way if we're not feeling off, you know?
Well, and I think in a nutshell here, kind of talking about all these elements in our life, I mean, sometimes we're just, you know, down on ourselves and things are not the way we envision them to be. You know, they're not, things aren't going the way we maybe planned. And if that is with our kids or if that's just in our marriage and our business, I mean, how can we still find the joy? Joy in the journey, you know, but still find joy even
laugh,
though
love.
I know, right? Even when, you know, things aren't going the way we hoped.
Yeah. I mean, hashtag 2020,
right?
And 2021 and possibly 2022. Like,
so true.
Yes. I think that, like you said earlier, like that's what we've learned from this whole experience is like we actually don't really have control, even though we tell ourselves that we do, and that we can work really, really hard to build a life of an intentional, you know, business or an intentional family or, you know, an intentional, you know, just working toward what you want as for your life, and that there are a lot of things that are actually just truly so out of our control. And so I think that pulling it back a little bit, when we're feeling overwhelmed, doing these check-ins is really, really important. But then it's like, what do we do when we feel like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely burned out and I'm definitely maybe borderline or fully depressed or, you know, like all these things that literally none of us are exempt from right now, like after post-pandemic or we're still in the pandemic, but you know,
yeah,
like truly every single person in the world is going through a lot of these emotions right now. I think that the word that keeps intentionality keeps coming up to me, but I keep asking myself, like, if this were simple, what would it look like?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, every single thing that I've got on my plate, we got to scale it back. It needs to be simple. It needs to, you know, the world has changed. Everyone's much more understanding. We don't do these like big, anything that looks fraught or overly done right now is almost like gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like
right,
it kind of
right.
feels like over the top and not authentic.
Authentic, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. I think that all of us are craving that. And so when we see not that, when we mm-hmm. see too much, then it feels inappropriate and icky. So I think just riding this wave of right now, we need to focus on the basics. We need to figure out what our true priorities are and then really just like try to make it simple so that we can have a lot of like control in the way we're spending our energy, that finite energy.
I love that. I think that like 2020 and 21 has kind of just like stripped us all raw, right? And it's just put us back to like, I remember that at the beginning of the pandemic of just like no schedule, nowhere to go, like all these minimals and like even like kind of if it was even analyzing your pantry of like, okay, what, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the fluff and the extra and the busy and the excess was gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, we all survived and we're all capable. But also I think it really does make you reevaluate and prioritize like, what are you willing to give? What time are you willing to give to what? And like your minutes, your energy, like you said, like that energy thing, like just processing and what you're giving your energy through the day to. Oh my gosh, that's so huge because it is. It's like everything's so valuable and you're only in this season for a period of time. So it's like using it just to the best we can.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Oh my goodness. Well, so many nuggets here, Jenny.
Oh,
oh my gosh. Like so insightful having you here.
And we didn't even get to skim the like true passion of her life of just design and all of it, which you're so talented in. But like, it is really beautiful to see that like all your experiences have just made you this strong, capable woman and mother that really is just so insightful. Like I really have taken a lot away from this today. I mean, for me, you're speaking to me, Jenny.
I know.
You really are.
Oh,
and I know a lot
of
moms, I think a lot of moms are going to be nodding along with us that this is all just a really good self-check, like all things that we need to consider.
Oh, 100%.
The reason I love home stuff so much is just like, it's such a piece of the puzzle. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think that the space element really, like we talked about these 10 things, it's so much more about building a life, a beautiful, balanced, imperfect, you know, not a glossy magazine, really curated, really edited life, but like a just like a messy, beautiful, imperfect
mm-hmm.
life. And I think space is the backdrop of all of that, you know.
Yes.
But it's just such a puzzle piece. I think it's really, really important that we're like focusing on the important things.
Right.
People,
the home.
People.
The four walls that you live in
yes.
and the people that you're living with.
People.
And
yeah.
You're exactly right. When you're happy and you feel peace and joy in your home. And a lot of times that's making it feel like a pretty space and organized and clean. But like again, it just all comes back to like we're the mom voice. That's like what we call ourselves. And usually because that's like we can use our crazy mom voice and get angry, but also just because our voice has such an influence on these little people. And like what we say is like what they believe. Like you said, like my kids are like, we really have to filter ourselves because what they hear, they just, like you said, absorb it mm-hmm. and they pack it away. If it's something someone wore or a movie or like the food, my opinions become their opinions sometimes. And they want to be just so much like us and they want to, you know, conform to this, and really our impact and our influence is just so strong. And so I think these are just really wonderful ideas to really refocus our minds.
Oh my gosh. And you hearts. Can follow, I mean, I'm sure many, many of you who do follow Jenny already, but she has so much inspiration for home and everything we talked about here, really. You do talk about this a bit as well, and you have about intentional living, being intentional with your spaces and making your home really somewhere that your family can thrive.
I've done with all the homework that working in homes for 15 years or whatever, I've met a lot of people who have a lot of money and who can buy a lot of really special things and, you know, just like have these really fancy homes, and they're miserable.
Oh, totally.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and I think we've seen some of that, you know, the last few years with just this consumerism and just, you need this, it needs to look like this. You can't have a happy, balanced life unless your home looks like this, and you need a bigger house and you need all these things, you know, and it's just, it's all such, they're all empty promises, you know? And like I said, it's just really, it's such a, that's such a small part of it. I love it. It does make me really happy when my house is clean and when things are organized, you know, like that's a part of it, but that is not the foundation. That's not the rock, you know? And so I think that maybe some of my messaging has shifted from pillows to purpose or something like that. Maybe that's a little trademark right there. Yes. I just changed my Instagram bio.
Pillows to purpose. I love it, Jenny. That's
from pillows to purpose. No, but totally. You know, but it's really more about building a life than it is about
I totally agree, because it doesn't matter what the home looks like specifically. Like, I go back to my grandmother's home in East Texas on a farm. Her home was like added on to over the years, like from like the 50s, right? And it's just a mod podge of like generations and wallpaper and carpets, and she has photos everywhere. But like, you walk in there and it's like love and home. Yes. No part of it is like perfectly designed or anything matches at all. Yeah. But it's like you feel something there.
Yeah.
And I love and appreciate. Could I live in that necessarily? Is that my dream home? No. But do I walk in there and feel like loved? Absolutely. So I think it's different for everybody, but what matters is like the spirit there in your home, right?
Yeah, yes. The feeling of home.
Yes.
Totally.
Well, Jenny, tell everybody your handle in case they're not already following you. Where can they find you?
Yes, my Instagram handle is just at Jenny Commenda. And then we also have at Juniper Print Shop.
Yes, her prints, you guys.
I
love
them
so much.
So many amazing pieces.
We'll come back and we'll talk about art.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Genius. Genius what you've done there, Jenny. I just love it. But Lauren, do you have anything else we should... Well, we have her here.
I know. My mind's just blown.
I just have so much to go process now, Jenny.
I know.
So it's like a therapy session, a real good therapy sesh.
You guys are so fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, Jenny.
Seriously. Awesome. Well, if you enjoyed what you heard here today, please jump over and leave us a 5-star rating or a review wherever you listen. We are back this Thursday with Emma Jade and Mom Cass to give you the headlines of the week. And then you can catch Lauren and I next Monday with a brand new release of The Mom Voice. All right. Anything else, Lauren, while we have Jenny?
That's going to do it. From pillows to purpose.
There you go.
Take care of each other.
Jenny, thanks so much. Thanks, all right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But before you head off to tackle your day, I want to take a moment and remind you about the Pogo Pass. If you've listened to us for more than a minute, then you know that we've used the Pogo Pass for years with our family. The Pogo Pass is a 1-year membership card that gives you access to a lot of great attractions and experiences in your local area. It's available in Phoenix, Las Vegas, Kansas City, Dallas-Fort Worth, and South Central Texas. In my home state of Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Pogo Pass gets you access to the Fort Worth Zoo, Hawaiian Falls Water Parks, Texas Discovery Gardens, and the SeaQuest Aquarium, just to name a few. It definitely pays for itself in 1 or 2 visits. So if you're looking for a fun activity to do over the winter break, or maybe a good gift idea for the kids, think about the Pogo Pass. Head over to pogopass.com, pogopass.com, and at checkout, enter code MOMVOICE for $10 off each pass purchased. Again, pogopass.com,
enter code MOMBOYS for $10 off each pass purchase.